3 on our discussion of the minhagim relating to weddings. Some minhagim that we do by weddings. So I'm going to be jumping around here. I don't have any really one topic, one specific topic. A lot of the things that I've seen over here is really not appropriate for the shiur, but I try to cover some material. So I went through some topics. Okay, let's first discuss the idea. What? Nothing is appropriate. Nothing is appropriate, right? Everyone's baruch, everyone's married. Okay, the first thing I want to point out over here is the minog of Bizman Hazeh. Very interesting idea. Bizman Hazeh, in time of Chazal, the minog was to separate the Eris and the Sun into two different time periods. Marriage, there's Erisin. Erisin is when the man says the woman Haratim Kudeshasli, he gives her the tabas in front of two witnesses, and they're fully married. Maker idea, we learned yesterday, you do not need to have 10 people, and that those brachas should be done sitting down. And that's what's called Erisin, or called Kiddushin in the Gemara. And that makes a woman into a fully married Eshes Ish, but she's not allowed to live with her husband until they have what's called Nisuin. Nisuin is when they take the chassan makes the kinyan by taking her into his rishus, and 7 brachos are recited. That's called Nisuin. Mm-hmm. In the time of Chazal, this was broken. The time between Erisin and Nisuin was typically a year or 6 months. Because basically, the answer is basically the Erisin is what we would today call the engagement. See, today, today, the same way today it's unheard of, a person just gets married. Oh, guess what? Tonight's my wedding. That's not the way it works. The way it works is you first get engaged, right? That's not the way it works. You get engaged, and then come to the wedding. The wedding's going to be in 2-3 months, whatever time it takes to get ready for the wedding. So, time of Chazal. The engagement was the wedding. That's the way it worked. In other words, there's no going back on this. When you decide to get engaged in time of Chazal, like basically you go to an engagement party, we're getting married. We are married. We are 100% married. If a woman is mezan, she's chayav misa. But we're not living together until we're ready because we have to go set up a house. So come back in 3 months for the nisuin. What? Many years. And sometimes the mother, they didn't get married, they didn't even matash when they were in the mother's womb, they were pregnant. In the event that your wife is carrying a female, I'm accepting, the husband's accepting kiddushin. So sometimes that take many, many years, but you want to make sure that there's no backing out. See, the marriage was 100% complete at the very, very beginning, and then there was a delay. Today we don't do that. It's unheard of. Today we have an engagement. Today in an engagement, we have a new thing called tenoyim. Where they would sign tonight, which are conditions, where the parties, they guarantee of what each side, what the chassan is going to do to prepare for the wedding, what the kala is going to do. So that it used to be years ago that when at an engagement party, the chassan and kala, the parents would sign the tonight. Today, by litvaks, we don't even do that anymore, because. Basically, the reason why you don't do this is because signing tanoim is considered to be something very severe. And if chas v'shalom, there's going to be a broken engagement, so it's to some degree it's even more problematic than having gotten married. Because if you get married, there's a way out. There's a get. But when you sign tanoim, there's no get for tanoim. So they say, I don't know if it's really true, but they say if you already signed the tanoim, it's better to get married and then get divorced than to break the tanoim. Is that really true? I don't know. Yes, but because of this concept, that's why today the minig is not to sign the tanoim by the engagement party. Because we all know we live in a very complicated world, and just because someone is engaged, it's not so uncommon for the engagement to break up. So therefore, we don't want there to be any halachic issue if the tanoim was signed. So therefore, the minig by most of the Litvish Olam is not to sign the tanoim at the engagement party. So the truth then is, you don't even need tanoim altogether, because when you come to the wedding, you're getting married in 5 minutes. When you're coming to the chasan stish, why even bother doing the tanoim? And indeed, Rav Herschel Schachter, if I'm not mistaken, he advises them, I think, not even to do tanoim something. I don't know. But many, there are many people, there are many rabbanim today that don't even bother doing tnoim at the wedding because the tnoim was only meant for a period of engagement. Kibbudim. But when the tanaim were invented hundreds of years ago, it was invented in order to guarantee that the parties do not back out over the engagement period. It's the guarantee, there's no backing out now. We agree to get married, and each party is going to provide a certain amount of money or a certain amount of items for the wedding. It's going to be in 6 months, no backing out, so they signed tanaim. Today, we don't want to sign tonight because chas v'shalom, it might happen that there is going to be a broken engagement. So the first time that you'll make the tanaim is by the wedding. You're sitting by the chasen's tish, and you're signing the tanaim, and you're getting married in 10 minutes. You're going to do the ksuba, and then you're going to go march down to the chuppah. So the tanaim basically covers you for 10 minutes. You sign the tanaim that we guarantee we're going to walk down to the chuppah. Is it really necessary to sign tanaim for what's going to happen 10 minutes later? So there are many Paiskim that say no, it's not necessary. And that's why there are many Rabbanim today that don't even bother doing Tanoim at a wedding. In the yeshiva world, they will never do away with the Tanoim because Minag Yisrael Torah, since this is tradition, tradition was to do Tanoim. The true tradition was to do the Tanoim when you get engaged, which can be a couple of months before. For whatever reason, we don't do that. But to break tradition and not do the Tanoim, the yeshiva world is not going to do. What?
But Tanoim, we don't need witnesses.
Of course you need witnesses.
You
have witnesses signed the Tanoim. You have to make Kabbalah Kinyan. There's a double Kabbalah Kinyan. Both the Chosin has to sign, the Chosin has to sign, the Kala has to sign. The Tanoim are much more complex than the Ksuba. A Ksuba is a one-way document. It's the obligation the Chosin has to the Kala. There is absolutely nothing in the ksuba that obligates the kala to do for the chasen. The ksuba is a one-way document. The chasen is mekabel king. The chasen signs. And that's it. The witness is signed. The kala is not involved in the ksuba. It's the chasen's obligation to the kala. Tanoim is a two-way obligation. The chasen has obligations, and the kala has obligations. And the obligations, basically, they guarantee, they commit themselves to get married. What?
Yeah,
yes, a good Masada Kedushin will demand that the Kala sign the Tanoim. I've seen this many times. I haven't done too many weddings.
Usually it's the parents that are the parents.
It's the parents and the Chasen Kala. The parents, Chasen Kala. Now, like I said, but since Bizman Hazeh, it's not no gas, so therefore some Rabbanim do away with the Tanoim. Again, I told you in the yeshiva world, they'll never do away with the Tanoim because since it's tradition, tradition is tradition, you have to do the Tanoim even for 5 minutes. And also, the words Hamagid, Meireshis, Achris, Lozu, Lozem, Mizov, Lozo, Mizeh, there are some very mystical things that are written in the Tanoim, some very holy things, mystical things. They say that it's the mezuzah to the wedding. Just like you go into a bayis, you come into the bayis, you put up a mezuzah. When you get married, the tanoim is the mezuzah of your marriage. It's very nice. What does that mean? I have no idea what that means. But it sounds so nice, the average person says, no, let's do the tanoim. You don't want to play around. You don't want to play around with the new marriage. You don't want to, so therefore you do, you follow tradition. Okay. Now, Bismana said we do the eris and the suntin. Now, it rings out over here in the sefer, something very interesting. One of the reasons why it became the practice to do the eris and the sun in one shot is because of the yiridus hadoyos. Because the halach is, if a man and woman are married, you see, we're so nervous, we don't even do tanoim at an engagement party. But let's say you would actually do a marriage. Let's say at the engagement, the way it was really done was forget about the tanoim. There was a marriage, a kedushin. You come to an engagement party and they get married. He gives her the ring and he says, harei at, and they're married. They can't live together until they have nesuin. So come back in a couple of months, we'll have the nesuin. What happens if the isha is mezaneh? She has relations with another man in between the engagement party and the actual and the engagement on the wedding. So if it was like we do bizman hazeh, nothing. If a woman gets engaged, she's engaged, and you have an engagement party, and then 6 months later they plan on making the wedding. And in between the engagement party and the wedding, she's nichshol. She has an affair.
And she has
relations with another man. Nothing. So she's still permitted to get married to her husband, right? Because she's a panuya, a woman, a single woman. She did an aveira, okay, but that does not take away from, unless she's a kohenes. She's a kohenes, that's a different story. Does not take away from her permissibility to marry her husband. But if she's legally married, and now there's no one guarding her, she's not a married, she's no one guarding her for 6 months, you get married a year later, or 6 months later, she's all alone, and you know, we live in a very complicated world, and a woman then goes, has a nisayon, and she has an affair with another man, she's now not allowed to marry her husband. She's an eishes ish shezinsa, and if she proceeds to marry her husband, the rest of her life she is living in sin. So therefore, since I live in a generation, this goes back already hundreds of years of Yehudis Hadayos, and not everyone is following the rules, the program, the way it should be. So therefore, it became a hakpada not to separate that the erisin and the nisuin should not be done separately, because that's opening up the possibility of a nisayon, of a woman who will be nichshol in an avera, and the consequences of that avera are catastrophic. In order that the consequences should not be catastrophic in the case that she's nichshol in the avera, it became a hakpada that the erisin and the nisuin be done bevasachas. When this goes back to the time of the Goyim, already the time of the Goyim, we're going back already over 1,000 years. Going back, Mamash, 1,000 years, when the time of the Goyim, it was decided, no more the Gemara, they separated the Antanoim, the Amoraim, they had a break between the Erisin and the Nisun. The Goyim already said, there's a Yeridus Hadayos, we don't want it to be any problems, it's going to be done, the Vasachas. Okay, then we'll come back to that a little bit later. Let's go to another idea. Okay, jumping ahead, give me a moment to see what I marked off. Okay, the Gemara says, Omar, the minig of having a Masader Kedushin. You've never gone to a wedding where you don't have a Masader Kedushin. The Chubit so-and-so would see the Kedushin. Why do you see the Kedushin? Why can a Chosan and Kala go together and take two witnesses, and the Chosan will make the bracha, will make the two brachas, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokim El Baruch Me'agofen, and then Asher, Osalanu Es Arusoi, Svitulanu Es Nesu Eslanu, and he'll then give the Kala the Tabas Kedushin, Harei Amikudeshas, two witnesses. Who needs the Masader Kedushin? Where did the minog of having a Masader Kedushin ever come into play? As a kibbutz, fine, but where did it come into play that it's a minog Yisrael that you appoint a person who's a Talmud Chacham to serve as the Masader Kedushin? So this is the truth, it's a controversy. So some want to say it's a Gemara, Mefureshes. The Gemara says, Omar Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel, Kol She'enoy Yoidea B'tiv Gitin V'Kiddushin Lo Yehe Lo Yisek Imohem. Gemara. Anyone that does not know the nature, the tiv, the nature of Gitin V'Kiddushin should have no dealings Imohem. Now what is it? The Gemara over here, they take the Gemara at face value, it means the Gemara is assuming that we're dealing with the Masader Kiddushin. It's already implicit in the Gemara that there's someone who is a Masader Kiddushin, and he better make sure that he, being the Masader Kiddushin, knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. If not, that Gemara, the statement of the Gemara to tell that the Masader Kiddushin should know the halachas, that implies that there is a Masader Kiddushin. Right. But the truth is, this is not necessarily Makar, because Rashi says this Gemara does not refer to the Masader Kiddushin. It refers to a dayan. It refers, in the event that you have a situation where there's a situation where a woman got divorced, she has to wait 3 months, and when this happened, and that happened, someone died, yibam, chalitza, this and that, whatever the situation is, who's a relative, who's a cousin, not a cousin, witnesses, a kosher witness, not a kosher witness, call me she'en yodea, Rashi says, Rashi fataiches, Rashi's there, lihiyos, Dayan Bidavar, a judge. This Gemara has nothing to do with what we call the Masader Kiddushin. From Rashi, it comes out that there's really no such thing as a Masader. You have no other Makar. This is really the only Makar, the only early source. You can do whatever you want today. But we're trying to trace the Minog Yisrael. The Minog Yisrael is, you don't get married on your own. You don't go give a ring to a Isha on your own in front of two witnesses and say the Brachos on your own. That's not the Minog Yisrael. The Minog Yisrael is that it's done through a Masader Kedushin. When did it start? Where does it come from? If you can find this in a Gemara, it means it was a takana already established in the time of the Amorayim, time of Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. We're going back to the Amorayim when this takana started. According to Rashi, sorry, that's not a good valid source. Because this Maimon Chazal is only referring to a Bez Din. If you have a shingle, and you have a Bez Din, people are sitting there coming to Paskin, Dinei, Paskin Shilas, so the Dayanim, who Paskin, on Dinei Kiddushin, they should not be involved unless they know what they're doing. But a Masadir Kiddushin has no Makar, that means it's nothing more than a Minuk. It's a Minuk which evolved, and we don't even know when it evolved. It evolved at a later point in time in our history. And being that it's only a minig, it's not nikur hadin. Therefore, b'shas hatchak, when you can't get a mesad de kedushin, you can do it yourself. You can do it yourself. Okay. However, another nafkamina. However, many of the rishonim disagree with Rashi, or they quote Rashi and they interpret Rashi. They say kloimar the dayon who is the mesader the kedushin. When Rashi said dayon, that is a very powerful word. I'll show you an afkamina lahalach in a moment. A very powerful word. They fatayit Rashi, without going through all the details here, and many, many different opinions of what the Mari Vail, but Shuvaisov, he fatayit his Rashi, of Yosef Engel as well, that when Rashi means, nir de meforesh, de lemesader hakidushin vahaget kori le Rashi daya. Okay, some of the early achroinim, they fatayit, that would Rashi, when he says dayan, Rashi means that the Mesader Kiddushin is the dayan. And that means that the Seder Kiddushin goes back to the Gemara from the Amorayim, it's a Takana from the Amorayim, and it results in a very big chumra. That the Mesader Kiddushin has the status of a dayan. Lemay nafkemina, when you do dinim are only done by day. They're not done at night. A dayan only, and echanami. There are some. I don't think today you're going to find too many anymore. Bizman hazeh, but there's no question about that. Years ago, you look in Shulchan Aruch and some of the Neis Kalim, is that there used to be a hakpada only to get married by day. Shulchan Aruch. Now a get is Shulchan Aruch Ramah. If I'm not mistaken, Ramah writes a get can only be given by day, but a kedushin doesn't say. Kedushin doesn't say, which leads open the possibility that can be done at night. But if you take this Rashi to its most stringent reading, that the Mesader Kiddushin is the Dayan, Rashi is being Machmir. He's not just a Mesader Kiddushin, he's a Dayan. And when it comes to a din of a Dayan, Dayan has to be done in Stakona by day,
before Shkia.
Marriages would only be able to be done by day. Marriages cannot take place at night. And indeed, there were definitely Gedolei Yisrael in the previous generations that were Machmir upon this, not to do a Kiddushin at night, because they viewed Kiddushin to be a Maisa Bezdin. It's a Maisa Bezdin. And the Mesader Kiddushin as a Din Dayon. And Din of a Dayon, a Maisa Bezdin of a Dayon, is only done by day, not at night. Halacha l'maisa tuchazim amadvar. Everyone, Maisa Mechol Yom, marriages are done at night without any question whatsoever.
But he's like a Dayon in the sense that he's a person trusted to make decisions, especially if you have two sides.
Right, two sides.
Family, so you need someone to make those decisions.
Okay. Now, the Rambam, interesting, yeah?
It's only during the day, not at night. But a Dayan is a single person. So he cannot say it's a best.
Okay, Shulchan Aruch doesn't say, right. But he's still, that's the question. That is a dilemma. Even though he's only a yachid, he's only one person, but he's acting as a dayan, he's representing the bezdin, and when you represent the bezdin, still you should only do it by day, not at night. And that's not the minig. The minig is we do it at night. This is a historical note. The Rambam, in the time of the Rambam, in the Rambam's Tshuvos, people got married without a dayan. This is a fact. Going back 750 years, the Rambam's community in where he lived in Egypt, when the common minig was, when you get married, you just go, and you bring the kala, you bring two witnesses, and the chassan himself makes the bracha, and he gives you the ring. The Rambam made a takana. He made a takana that in his community, no one should dare get married by themselves. Can I read you? B'shnas elef v'tof ayin ches l'shtaros ho'yishnas, whatever it is. He writes, Tiknu Rabbeinu Mitzrayim. Rabbonei Mitzrayim v'otziu Sefer Torah b'ram, they brought out a Sefer Torah into the street. V'hecherimu, and they issued a curse. Al anshei hakefarim hashoichnim bid min ha'hor, in the name of a place, v'kulchim uv'molucha lebal yisa adam es ishtoi be'elu hakefarim ela al yidei elu harabonim shebekfar Mitzrayim. They made a takana with a curse that no one should dare get married alone without the authorization, the supervision of a dayan. This is what happened. This was something which we find a historical thing that happened during the time, the lifetime of the Rambam. Okay, now it's interesting. I think this is an interesting this idea. I mentioned the Gemara. Call me she'ena yodea betiv gidni v'kiddush lo yehi eseki mohen. So we just finished learning that it refers to the dayan, or refers to the Masader Kiddushin. And when it says they should have an Asek Imohen with them, what does it mean with them? It means with matters relating to Gittin the Kiddushin. However, some of Farshim say something very interesting. They say, no, it means a person. Call me any individual that never learned Masechta Kiddushin, never learned Masechta Gittin, lo yehi Asek Imohen, should have nothing to do with women. Imohen doesn't mean matters relating to Gittin Vikidush. It doesn't mean if you're a Dayan and you don't know the halachas, don't get involved in these Pesachei halacha. If you as an individual don't know anything about Gittin Vikidushin, stay away from women, because you may not even realize by giving her money, you may end up marrying her. You know, like, you know, all these horror stories where children have these mock weddings. Mm-hmm. Many horror stories like this. They don't know anything. They have these mock weddings, and they go and they put a quarter into the machine. They take out a ring and they give it to the isha. You marry me. And there are stories like this. Stories that by Moshe Paskin. Many stories. They need a get. She becomes also to a kohen. It's a horrific experience. These type of things. So taka means a person does not know anything about Gittin v'Kiddushin, lo yehe eseki mohen, stay away from women, you could ruin your life. You should know the basic laws of Gittin v'Kiddushin, so that then you can go into business. Okay. Yeah. Okay, let's go to the next topic. The next topic is the minog to be mekadesh with a ring, a tabas. The Mishnah says the method of getting married is kesef shtar mi. The three ways to get married: you give a yisha kesef, money, cash; give her coins, achlekes besham be. Still give her a pruta. You give her a shekel. Shtar. What's a shtar? You have to write on parchment. Harei at nikudesh asli. You have to have kavana l'shma. It's for me, it's for you, and you have to give it in front of witnesses. That would be very complicated. If we would be bismanas that get married b'shtar, it would be like giving a get. The same way when you write a get, it's a very complicated matter to get the divorce. You need a soifer, and the witness have to sign, it's very complicated to give a get. So too, if we would bismanas that be makadish with a shtar, it would be a very complex process. So we don't do that bismanas that. Bia, a man says to a woman, I'm being makadish with a maisa bia. And they go into a room and they appoint witnesses to observe them go into the room in Yichud. That's how one be Makadish with Bia. The Gemara says it shouldn't dare do that. It's pritzos. It's pritzos for a person. It's not morally proper for a man to go and be Makadish Ish with Bia. So that, of course, is not done with Zman Hazeh. So how are we Makadish with Zman Hazeh with Kesef? But the Gemara says not only is Kesef valid, Shove Kesef. And the minhag today, of course, is to use Shove Kesef, which means we use a ring. So when exactly did this minhag come about? Because nowhere in the Mishnah and in the Gemara is there any mention of a man being mekadesh and isha with a tabas, with a ring. You give a ring. When did this evolve, this custom to give rings? Kesef is money. A pruta. And the Gemara has many stories. A man gives a woman a bucket of flowers, he gives a woman vegetables, he gives a woman all these funny things, he brings all these examples. But nowhere in the Gemara is there a story where a man is mekadesh the isha with a silver or gold ring. It does not exist. And certainly not in the Mishnah does it exist. So when did this all come about? So all the Farshim, they struggled to find the Makar for this. And So there are makaros. There's one very interesting makar from Rav Saadia Gaon. What?
They use the word tabas.
Who used the word tabas? When did that come into existence, a tabas? Harayat nikudeshasli. It doesn't say in the Gemara the word tabas.
Correct.
That's a new thing. When did this come into existence? Right. So Rav Saadia Gaon, he has a fascinating insight. He says, you find this in the time of Ezra. Time of Ezra, the Gemara, there's a story, one of the families that came back with Ezra, they were called by a funny name. They were called in the pasuk, let me see if I could find it. Okay, it's a pasuk in Ezra, Perek Beis, pasuk Mem Gimel. Hanisinim b'nei tzicha, b'nei chashufa, b'nei taba'os. This is a family of the Nisinim. Okay, these were people that were converts. They convinced Moshe Rabbeinu, Yeshua, and they were converts, and they were called B'nai Taba'os. And Rav Saadia Gaon explains why were they called B'nai Taba'os? Because these people made problems between the Erisin and the Nisuin. What happened was these men they married their cows. They had like traditional. There's a delay between the Erisin and the Nisuin. They got married now, and they had the Nisuin a year later. These people couldn't control themselves to be away from their prospective Kala, and they live with them in between the Erisin and the Nisuin. And by living with them between the Erisin and the Nisuin, they father children sometimes, and those children were born basically out of wedlock. They were married, but they didn't have Nisuin. Or maybe that the women were nichshol, they did arayus, they were nichshol, and they did averus, and they became also to their husbands. So there was a family of Nisinim that married Erisin and Nisuin, and in between the Erisin and the Nisuin, they failed to follow the rules. And by failing to follow the rules, they put themselves in a very difficult situation. Therefore, the pasuk refers to them as B'nai Taba'os. Because the way they got married, the way we refer to their erisin, the kiddushin, the first part of marriage, is with a tabas. Mm-hmm. They did erisin by giving their kala a ring. You're married to me now. We're husband and wife.
I should remind them on it.
We're husband and wife. We can't live together until we have nisuin a year later. And in the between, they made trouble. They made problems. But what do we learn from this indirectly? That the method that the nisinim used to marry their bride was with a tabas.
Well, why should we emulate them?
They did wrong and they didn't behave themselves. But the fact that it's recorded in Sefer Ezra, that the technique that we record they were problematic, these families. And we record the problem is that they did not follow the rules of separation between Erisin and Nisuin, which led to many problems. And the way we allude to their erisin is with the word tabos, indicating that they had erisin. That teaches us indirectly that the way these families got married was with a ring. This is one of the earliest sources in Tanakh, because you don't have it in the Mishnah, the Gemara, and only comes only by the Goinim do we. The Goinim do we come? We have it in the Goinim. We have it in the Feirush. It's a truth from the Goinim, which talks about. But this at least is a remnant of Saadia Gaon writes. We see from this, from the Goinim, that even in time of Ezra, the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, there already is an allusion to such a custom of a man getting married to a woman by using the tabas. Now, the time when it became widespread, according to all the opinions, was during the time of the Goinim. Okay, I'll finish up with this time of the Goinim, okay, which is about 1,000 years ago. There's a truth from the Goinim where it talks explicitly mentions the difference between the minhagim between the Bnei Bavel and the Bnei Eretz Yisrael in the tabas. If when they got married, did they first show the dye on the ring? Did they first display it before they gave it to the kala? There was a difference. But indirectly, we learn is that people got married by giving a ring to their kala. The question is, why did it first become prevalent? Popular to give a ring specifically during the time of the Goinim. So it presents you something very, very fascinating. We mentioned when we started today that until the time of the Goinim, the custom was to separate the Erisin from the Nisuin with a delay of time. Erisin and Nisuin, there was a delay of a year, 6 months between or maybe even many years between the Erisin and Nisuin. The very first time it became a takana that the erisin and the nesuin take place in one shot under the chuppah was during the time of the ga'inim. Now here's the problem. Whenever a man, today, let's say you go into the chuppah, and you say, you know what, I'm not giving you a ring, my cow. I'm changing minhag. I'm giving you cash. Okay? You come to the chuppah with a suitcase. Okay?
You prefer that.
Come with a suitcase, $1 million. Come with a quarter, or you come with gold. Okay, the gold. You want a bar of gold. No rings here. No rings. I'm giving you a bar of gold.
No,
and you give it to the kala. Hariat mikudesh asleep with this bar of gold. Kidas Moshe v'Yisrael.
No, it's no good.
Are they married?
No.
Why not?
Because she has to know exactly what it's
worth. She knows what it's worth. They evaluate. The bar of gold is worth 1,000, whatever the price of gold is. They take out the smartphone, they see the value of the ounce of gold, they know exactly how much it costs. Are they married? You give cash. You give cash. Are you married? It's a problem. You know why it's a problem? Because since you're giving her the kesef under the chuppah, you're doing kinyan chuppah, the vasachas, there's a rule that whatever assets a woman acquires, she only owns the principal.
Not the
but the payros, go to the husband. If the value of gold goes up, he gets it. So she give her a bar of gold, you evaluate how much is the bar of gold worth today. Mm-hmm. If 20 years from now they get divorced, so the increase in value from the time of marriage until the time of divorce, that belongs to the, she gets the principal. But the payros go to the anything that he gives her, she owns the keren. Nichsei miloy. It's not a pure gift. A man gives something to his wife, he has to give, completely relinquish what he possesses, and he gives it to her. In the time of Chazal, here's the difference. When there was a separation between the erisin and the nesuin, this halacha, that whatever a woman acquires, the husband has rights in the payros, in any, what's a good word for payros? In any income, any
dividend,
is only from the time of nesuin. But if you only have erisin, we're only married through erisin. I'm giving you erisin. Until we have nesuin, whatever she acquires, she keeps everything. It's nichsei tzayin bar, she keeps everything. She keeps, the dividends will go to her. So in the time of Chazal, where there was a separation between erisin and nesuin, so he gives her money. And I give you the money, I have no connection to this, your property. When we get married later on, 6 months later, that's already yours. That's not something new that I'm giving you. That's not something new. But since Bizman Hazel, when he's giving her, he's already giving to her in the time period when they already called her Nesua, she's already having Nesuin, so it's not a real gift. The only exception to this rule is her clothing and her tachshit. Shulchan Aruch. If you give a husband, buys his wife a gift, jewelry is her clothing. That she keeps dividends. If the jewelry that you give your wife as a gift goes up in value, goes up in value, she always gets to keep that. So now, being in the time of the Goyim, these two things go totally zebzeb. We find for the very first time widespread change of giving kesef to giving tabas in the time of the Goyim. We also find that it was in the time of the Goyim they made a new minhag. There should no longer be a separation between erisin and nesuin. It should be done to vasachas because we're afraid if something happens in the middle. These two minhagim are totally zebzeb. Because until the time when they're able to separate erisin and nesuin, then you can give kesef, you can give her cash, and that's a valid form of getting married. But now that they were masakin to get married with vasachas as nesuin, giving cash is no longer ideal because the husband still has a connection to that money. It's not a pure gift. So now they had to be masakin. You should give her for marriage a tachshit, a piece of jewelry.
So it belonged to her.
Which is totally hers, where the husband has no dividends. So that explains why these two minhagim overlap and they came back and existed at exactly the same time.
So
okay, we'll stop here.